One, two, three, four. Yes, I got your letter.
Got your letter.
It's gonna be on our next album.
Yep, that'll be on the next record. We're gonna do another one from the album now.
You guys wanna play another song?
Sure, yeah, does that work for you guys?
Let's rock it.
Alright.
This is the Resolectrics here on Squirrel Snow at KBOO 90.7 FM Portland.
Alright, let's do Only Blind. Okay. One. A two, a one, two.
Thank you.
fell right through. The grass is always greener in another life. Your love is always cleaner with another type. But life is just a dream in a given light. I was only blind. I was only trying to be kind. I was only blind to keep you on my side.
That was great, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you for coming to KBOO for this interview at Squirrel Snow. And what about if we do some basic introductions? Let's start, whoever wants to start, with your names and function in the band.
All right. My name's John Becker, and I play the drums, and I sing.
My name is Tate Peterson. I play guitar, and I sing. And I currently also play the allergies. Really bad right now.
You're good at it.
Yeah.
And I'm Bob Dunham, and I'm playing the bass.
It's Bob Dunham over there on the bass. That's right.
Okay, so are all the microphones placed in a way that you guys can talk?
More or less. Bob might need
to. We can have Bob roll in here.
Yeah.
Let's listen to the Bob roll in. Let's just listen to the Bob roll in.
Yeah.
That's a song we do.
Do you see another headphone over there? Another set of headphones?
Right there.
Okay, Elias Diss. You just want to go and sit over there.
Oh, this is good right here.
Well, I think it's working.
Let's leave him on this one.
Hello. Okay. So let's start by discussing when you guys met and how long ago was that and how were the circumstances around you guys meeting? Because, you know, as a fan of music myself, I feel that you guys are so close together musically or artistically.
Yeah, I agree, and we all speak the same language, you know. So there was definitely, and we were able to communicate through music like instantly. Well, I'll let Tate tell the story though. It was how many years ago?
Oh, it was about 8 years. It was about 8 years ago that John and I met through a mutual friend of ours who was also. John used to be in the band. I mean, sorry, Ben used to be in the band. A mutual friend of ours named Ben was. He's on the first record, and I went to college with Ben, and he plays keys and sings on the first album. And so anyway, I was thinking I wanted to play, you know, sort of a similar style of music that I knew that Ben was interested in, and he told me he was jamming with John at his friend John's house, you know, doing similar stuff too. And so we thought, hey, why don't we all get together and try it out and see how it feels. So that was the original incarnation of the group, was me, John, and Ben in John's basement. Ben was playing keys, and we didn't have a bass player for a long time. So that's how we met, how John and I met, was through our friend Ben, like I said before. And
What about Bob? How did you get into this?
So that came through later. So Tate and I and Ben we were the Reselectrics for a while, a three piece, no bass, and we wanted bass. And then we finally found another bassist. And just like Ben, they had to move on to different things. Not everybody can make the music work out for long term. And then Bob, I was a fan of instantly from seeing him play with other groups, and he was one of those fellas for me that when I saw him, I'm like, I need to be playing with people like that. So we asked another person to join the bass, and they were a really busy fella, and they recommended Bob Dunham, and I was like, Bob Dunham, of course, that'd be awesome if he's up for it. And so we reached out to Bob, and he was game, and he's been our longest member besides Tate and myself here, the co-founders, I guess, at this point. And we feel like Bob's all in. He's definitely as much Reselectrics as any of us.
Yeah, this kind of brings me to the idea of this new album that we're going to be putting out later this year.
Yeah, please tell us.
I don't want to, like, you know, direct your interview or anything, but it just, what I'm thinking is...
I'll edit that out.
Yeah, okay, yeah. There's a lot you can probably edit out of this.
I won't edit too much out. But yeah, continue.
The point is,
okay, as Kabu does want you to promote your music.
Yeah.
Definitely. Oh, I was just about to read about it, but please go.
I was just going to say that this new album represents what the Reselectrics are now. You know, the first album, High Water, has a different lineup. John and I are on it, but Andrew Stern and Ben Morse played in the band at that point, and neither of them are with the group anymore. This new album is the three of us. We put it together. It feels like it's, you know, it's the next step, and it's kind of the new incarnation of the group. Even though we've been playing for a long time now, it's not that new.
Yeah, it's been 8 years.
It's representative, at least, of, you know, what we've become from the beginning. You know, yeah. It's changed a lot.
So for our audience, we have local band The Reselectrics, who are playing at Wonderfest June 29th to the 30th. You're playing one of those days?
Yeah, well, we're playing on Friday.
Friday,
the Reselectrics are playing, but we're also doing the Wander Band on Friday, which is Wander Lodge and us combined. And Wander Lodge is Matt Cadnelli and Chris Stewart. Both of those guys play in a lot of great bands, excellent musicians.
Yeah, and this Wander Fest will be a fest. So
yeah,
a lot
a
of
festival.
Bands that are
yeah.
friends of yours are playing there, right?
Yeah, there'll be like 14 bands, all Portland bands, all friends, like... Mm-hmm. I play in four of the bands that are going to be out there. Matt plays, you know, well, John and Bob are only in the Reselectrics currently, I think, right? At least of this round of bands that are playing. But there's a bunch of bands that share members, and we're all playing together. We're all good friends, and
it's a
Portland scene.
Yeah, very idyllic situation, too. It's outdoor with a nice natural amphitheater in a beautiful spot next to a historic lodge called the Dundee Lodge. So it's just a great place for an evening or day full of music outdoors in just a really beautiful setting.
Yeah, it's like there's some really good older Portland acts, and then a lot of really good newer Portland. It's all kind of roots music, you know, rock and roll, sort of folk and roots and country, alt country stuff, but of all different kinds. You know, it's very diverse within the spectrum of roots music. We got Taylor Kingman is going to be there, and Little Sue is an old Portland, you know, just great musician from
Pagan Jug Band
days.
Too, I think I
yeah,
saw.
Pagan Jug Band, Gravel, featuring Lynn Conover, you know, the Old Yellers, Corey Quinn, Louis Longmire, lots of great names if you know who they are, you know.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
So, you know, one of my questions on my list, it was for later, but it's about the Portland music scene. So as musicians who play shows and who have worked together for a while and written songs together and recorded stuff. People know about you. What do you think about the Portland music scene? Is there a scene? Are there scenes anymore? Give us your input on this regard, based on the fact that, you know, how musicians market themselves is different from, I don't know, 20 years ago or 30 years ago. What do you think about?
Well,
and again, I'll emphasize, is there a music scene? Elaborate.
I believe that there is. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's alive and well in Portland, depending on what style of music that you're interested in finding and exploring. But at least the scene that we have sort of fallen into, which is associated with the Laurel Thirst Public House, they have live music, free live music, 7 nights of the week at the Laurel Thirst. It's on 29th and Gleason, Northeast Portland. And it, to us, it's kind of a hub of the sort of the scene that we've kind of adopted, or that has adopted us. Mm-hmm. We didn't necessarily set out looking to find it, but it kind of worked. So lots of the bands that are playing at this Wanderfest also play at the Laurel Thirst, and there's a lot of people who go to see music there every night of the week, or certain nights a week when certain bands play. People are just, you know, diehards. They go every week or every week that they can. And it's, you go there, you can go to any show there and you'll see people you know. If you're kind of active in this scene, I could probably go there any night of the week and see people that I know, see really good musicians playing, seeing good musicians just listening to other musicians play. Like in the audience, you'll look around, you'll see tons of people who are super talented. So I feel like the roots music scene, at least in Portland, is underground. It's not necessarily as well paid attention to by media or whatever, because it's not, you know, it's not necessarily hip or like cutting edge. Mm-hmm. But it feels like a real family. Everybody in it really loves what they're doing and loves each other's music and is supportive. And
Do you feel that, your thoughts on the—
I was going to say, Tate is talking about a scene, and I guess the one that we're a part of.
Close.
Yeah, yeah. So we're talking about, there is a scene then.
Yeah.
And the other thing that's really, that I really enjoy about this scene and everybody involved in it, and is we're talking world-class performers. It's amazing. They're as good as anything you're going to see, and it's happening there 7 nights a week. It's just great stuff.
Laurel
it may
Hurst
not be
Pub?
Out there.
It's called Laurel Thirst.
Okay.
So it's in Laurel Hurst area. Yeah. It's called the Laurel Thirst. Yeah, I mean, you can see people who would be touring the world there, you know, playing on this little stage. Like,
that's a really clever name. Love it.
It's a cool spot. And then, you know, that kind of sort of, you know, some of the bands that play there also play at the Goodfoot, which is also, it caters to kind of a jam community, jam bands and groove music and funk and people who like to dance and mm-hmm. kind of go out and
so
really get into it.
Would you guys say that the people in Portland, you know, they are receptive? Like there's a percentage of people that go out to drink together and spend time together. They are supportive of musicians and they're willing to pay for musicians and for world-class acts.
I feel like yes.
Yeah, we found that. We have found that. And, you know, we didn't even set out to do that either. If we want to get back to the beginnings of the Resolectrics, like one of our things that we wanted to do, we had all been in bands previously, and we've beat our heads against the wall to try and get publicized and get out there and get your name out there and get as many gigs as possible. When we started this group, we made a pledge to each other to focus on the music and just make the music that we wanted to make and not focus on anything else, really.
How many songs have you guys written together, just off the top of your head?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, probably, I mean, together that were collaborations, probably like between 20 and 30. Because we, you know, a lot of the songs on High Water, the first album, are collaborations, and there are several songs from that era that haven't been recorded mm-hmm. that were collaborations.
What's the best place to get High Water? Because I've played it on the show before.
You can get it at reselectrics.com.
Reselectrics.com.
Just go to www.reselectrics.com, and it'll take you right to the best place to download it. You know, you have to put in your information and stuff. It's not iTunes, because right now we're not doing iTunes currently. And
okay.
Bandcamp.
But people can buy a CD.
Oh, they can buy a CD, but
and
you have to come
to your
the
band.
Best place to come.
Yeah,
come to,
electrics.
Show.
Come to a show.
And the show.
The best
yeah.
place to come and see us and get a CD is at a show, because that's actually pretty much the only place you can actually get a physical CD is at one of our shows.
Yeah, there you go. Just go to their shows. You know the spot, the Resolectrics. And let's go back to the past a little bit. And okay. I would like to hear from everybody, if possible.
Sure.
When did you start enjoying music? Like, can you recollect a moment that got you started?
Oh, man, I was so young. I can't even... No, I mean, I can't remember the first time I ever heard music or the first time that music moved me, because it probably happened at such a young age and so frequently. Because I was hearing... my mom played music all the time, especially in the car. I'd ride with her in the car all over the place doing errands and stuff. And her brother was, you know, a child of the 60s and got really into rock and roll and the Beatles and Crosby, Stills, and Nash and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And he was sending my mom tapes of good music, and I was hearing all this music in the car. So I, you know, as early as I can remember, the Beatles were my favorite band. Mm-hmm. I decided when I was pretty young that the Beatles were my favorite band.
So a moment that that you can recollect that got you started would be being in the car.
Being just in the car with my mom.
Like 5 years old, 6 years old.
Yeah, definitely. I guess my earliest memories of really listening to music are riding in the car with my mom, either with tapes playing or the oldies station playing.
John.
This oldies.
Similar to tape, probably. Just music my parents listened to, which was some good stuff. But if there's one moment that I can think of when I saw live music and knew that I wanted to be a part of that and do something along those lines, was when I was probably 4 or 5 and my dad had some work down in New Orleans, and we went down there and we were just walking down Bourbon Street like early evening, and there was just every other venue that we went past, there was a band like with their back turned towards the street, you know, so I could see them without having to go in. And there were also street performers as well that definitely stood out of my mind.
Oh, kids, so you're from New Orleans?
No, I'm from Southern Indiana, actually.
Southern Indiana.
So this was kind of a vacation for my family, and we were working with the my dad had a job, and we were down there just like hanging out with him while he was doing his work and soaking up a different environment than Southern Indiana.
Yeah.
So that was like, okay, you know, something I normally Indiana kid didn't see, you know,
Tate,
walking down
you,
Bourbon Street.
That's awesome that you've been around Indiana and then New Orleans, right?
Yeah.
Because it's supposed to be a music town. Everybody knows it. Tate, are you from Portland? Have you been here for a while?
No, I'm from California.
You're from California?
I was born and raised in the Bay Area near Berkeley.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm 21 years in Portland now, and this will be a perfect transition into Bob here, who's actually from Portland.
Bob, so you're from Portland. Tell us about your story with Portland.
With Portland, or music experiences, or...
Yes. The question, the question I have in mind is, can you recollect a moment that got you started in music?
Yeah, similar thing with music around the house for my parents and my brothers. Early concerts, like I was 6 or so, my first concert was The Police, and then followed by The Who, like the year.
How
there.
Old were you for your first concert?
About 6 years old.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, The Police.
But then also, I think at some point there was a piano around, so just like starting to play just a little bit, like just picking out a melody or something like that, kind of just got me hooked.
Yeah, okay. Guys, what do you think about playing another song? And then a couple more questions.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I saw some people poking their heads in the window they thought they might.
It's they're just enjoying your music. It's not every day. This room that we're using right now is usually for news, talks,
okay,
a lot of social justice talks in this station.
Okay.
Usually music, people don't play electrical instruments here, so it's cool.
Okay.
It's all good. Yeah.
All right. What do we have in mind?
We hit pause.
What now? All right, yeah, so do you want to do I Love You first?
Yeah, we'll do that.
Okay.
This is another one that's going to be on our album that'll be released.
And you are listening to the Resolectrics on Squirrel Snow at KBOO 90.7 FM.
1, 2, 1, 2. How about told you?
I'm so glad you're mine. I love you. Ain't no doubt, babe, I love you. Look in my eyes, baby. I tell you no lie. I'm gonna love you till the day I die. Oh, until the day I die. Loving always easy, it's give and take. You work through life, you hope to do right. Try to smell the roses along the way. But when things go south, make no mistake, I'm on your side, I won't be late. Right there with you. Ain't no doubt, babe, I love you. Ho!
Listening to the Resolectrics local band here on Studio 2, in Studio 2, at the studios of KBOO 90.7 FM. And my name is Ender, and I'm your favorite DJ. Come on, let's just face it. You're listening to Squirrel Snow, and of course I'm not a DJ. I pretend that I am, but I'm not. And but I'm here interviewing some really great people.
Is that your DJ name, DJ Squirrel Snow?
No. That's just the name of the show. That used to be my DJ name until I decided that, yeah, you can just call me by my name, Ender.
Ender.
That's good. Yeah,
it's a pretty sweet name.
And if you want to take it, you know, you call me Mr. Black too if you want.
But. Both are pretty cool. Both are pretty sweet. So,
but yes, this is Squirrel Snow. And hey, what about if you guys do another song?
Okay. I think we've decided that we're gonna do the brandest newest song of the Res Electrics catalog.
Woo! Only just okay, boo.
Yep. Just wrote it the other month.
Bring into you musicians from Portland, so you can really know what's going on. A lot of incredible, talented music happening in our town. So here we go.
Yeah. So this song is called Honest Man. It's a brand new song, and it's about kind of. You know, what is a person supposed to do when you're kind of faced with the reality of, you know, American life today? Like, you know, if you just want to be an honest person and do right, and yet, you know, the way things are doesn't really facilitate that.
KBOO, you know? KBOO is really known for their political and social justice work. You know, yeah. A lot of people have all about social justice and pointing out all the things that suck in this country and the world. So, yeah. Art that shows that, it's wonderful.
I think in this song, Tate captured the kick 'em while they're down mentality that sometimes rises to the top.
Yeah. It's like, you know, you lose your license, so you can't go to work, and then you can't work because you don't have your license, and then you get fines, and you can't pay the fines because you can't go to work, and then
pay the poor tax.
You know, it's like
it's a horrible matrix.
It totally targets people who are you know, already, like John said, they're already down and out. You know, and then it just kicks them even harder. So this was kind of inspired by that idea. It's called Honest Man. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Have to
do. With just one strike, counts as three against you. What in hell's an honest man to do?
That was what's the word I'm looking for? It's pleasant and educational and just beautiful, and thank you for performing that song.
Oh yeah, you're welcome.
I have a question. Anybody that wants to jump in, please describe, shortly of course, your overall experience with being a musician. Like, what does it take to develop musicianship?
What does it take to develop musicianship?
It takes effort. It's like a, some people I think are born with it, but it's still, no matter what, it's like anything in life, I think. Sports, anything that you're going to try and achieve greatness at, it takes effort on top of talent. And it's been a lifelong pursuit for me. And I always see myself as a student. I'm always learning, always pushing myself. And it's definitely, for me, a 45-year-old man now with two kids, it's involved a lot of sacrifice too to be able to keep it at the forefront. One of the a strong part of my identity. It's because it takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of effort. It takes a dedication. It's kind of like a marathon runner. It could, that's a something that could feed someone's soul. And all the effort that goes into it as well, but it is very demanding on someone's schedule to be able to get up to that kind of mileage. And for me, as a drummer, someone who doesn't travel and doesn't play professionally 5, 6, 7 times a week, I feel like I have to do the work at home if I want to be able to play with someone at that level. Like if the Reselectrics had an opportunity to open for someone that was a national touring act, I'd love to be able to come out and perform at the level that they're performing, knowing that they're doing it 5, 6 nights a week. Mm-hmm. So that's the way I approach it. I have to just always be working hard.
You have two kids.
Yeah.
Good for you. How old are they?
11 and 5. Emery and Jude. Hey Jude. Hey Emery.
All right. Tate.
Yeah.
You're dying to say something. Come on, go for it.
I'm just gonna agree with John that it takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of work. It's not enough to just have talent. People can slide by on talent alone for just so long. But at a certain point, it takes a real dedication. It takes a lot of effort, and you have to really put in the time. And for a lot of people who play music that I know, a lot of us probably got started when we were young, when we were like, teens or even younger than teenage. And I feel like that's a point in people's life where you have a lot of, even though you feel really busy and you've got a lot going on because you got school and everything, you have a lot of energy and time to dedicate to something like music if that's what you want to do. And so at that point in my life, besides getting good enough grades that I didn't get in trouble all the time, I was playing music a lot. I put a lot of time into and it was for fun. It wasn't like, I want to be a professional musician when I grow up. It was because I really enjoyed what I was doing. And then eventually I realized like, hey, I'm kind of good at this. I can, if I actually work at it, maybe I can keep going.
How old were you when you started, like 12?
I started 13. Playing piano when I was probably like six or seven. And then I started playing guitar when I was maybe 12.
Okay, so by the age of 12, were you writing your first songs? Were you doing covers or like just practicing the theory of it?
I wrote bad songs when I was young, and I was learning other people's songs. I was learning Nirvana and Stone Temple Pilots. That kind of stuff was like, one of the very first riffs I ever learned.
Stone Temple Pilots?
That's a Stone Temple Pilots song. That was one of the first things I ever learned
Plush,
how to play guitar.
Isn't it Plush?
Plush, yeah. So I grew up in the 90s when there was a lot of grunge music, but it But I, like I said, the Beatles were a favorite of mine, and I then grunge kind of turned me on to some some heavier stuff too, like Hendrix and Zeppelin and things like that. And you know,
yeah, I'm sure you,
I had
you
older
were,
brothers too.
I'm sure. So. Oh, you had older brothers that
I have
would
older brothers
that would play music with
that
you
that were into music. Yeah, they played guitar. But they also just played music. You know that I hadn't heard before. They introduced me to stuff that I didn't know.
That says a lot about your
took
relationship
me my first
with
concert.
Music.
Yeah, my brother took me to my first concert. It was Aerosmith and Collective Soul.
And that was Collective Soul.
Yeah.
And that was back in California.
Yeah.
Where in California? Northern
the
California?
The Bay Area near Berkeley.
The Bay Area.
Yeah, Arinda, California. It's right near Berkeley. It's right on the other side of the Caldecott Tunnel. We have a BART stop, so you know, we're somewhere.
What about Bob? Tell us.
Kind of similar idea, just you know, constantly trying to learn, being exposed to music, musicians playing, listening to their playing while you're playing, and I think all that's kind of key, just like never really standing still, always trying to explore and get better.
Okay.
Yeah, I think what John said was, you know, like I agree, as like I'll even though I teach music, I still feel like I'm always going to be a student and you know, just always sort of taking
that. Oh, you teach
that.
Music?
Yeah.
Where do you teach music, if you want to share
with our
audience?
Well, I didn't mean to sidetrack at, you know, I teach at a place. I teach private lessons. You can reach me.
Look, this is supposed to be a casual interview, guys. So
yeah,
no,
I do private lessons.
Don't worry about it.
I do private lessons in my neighborhood. I live in Northeast Portland. I do house calls. But I also, a couple days a week, I travel to Youth Music Project, a nonprofit in West Lynn, where we do free lessons for kids that qualify. You know, all you have to be is free lunch at school or food stamps or anything like that, and it's really easy to qualify for a year of lessons if you're financially in need. And
so, with knowing it or not, you might be inspiring people, like young people.
I hope so.
In ways that you don't think about too much.
I hope so. It's you know, some days it feels like it could be that. Some days it doesn't. But nonetheless, it's a good job. And it's better than a lot of
things.
I feel
like if you want to approach being a musician as a professional, you have to realize that some days you're not going to feel like doing it, just like anything else in life, but you got to do it anyway. You know, so it's like once you go into it eyes wide open like that, that sometimes, you know, you don't feel like playing a show or you don't have the energy, but you just go do it and it happens. And if it goes well, if you get to a level where it's good, even when it's not coming easy, that's like that professional level that we're aiming for. I know.
Yeah. One of the questions that's very important to me as a young person, what tips do you have for young people that want to be in bands or maybe were in bands and want to do other musical projects? Like, tips in forming a band, staying together as a band, or going solo, whatever, just play music, play shows, tour.
My way has always been, because it's hard to keep bands together. It's hard to find the right people. And whenever I find myself in a situation where I am with the right people, are people that I want to be playing with that have the similar desire, it feels like a blessing. So when you're not in that situation, what I do is I try to learn the language. You know, push myself as a musician where my skills do not define what I'm able to do. That may be vague, but trying to make myself the kind of player that the kind of player that I want to play with would want to play with.
Yeah.
Make yourself be the kind of player that you think the
that
kind
you
of player
play with.
Exactly would oh, like just, so like okay the kind of guy that I want to play with on guitar, he's gonna like a drummer that, you know, that it has a solid downbeat and a solid backbeat, you know, so that's what I'm gonna go for, or whatever.
So you were,
you know,
you were sending out that frequency for a tape. You were fishing for a tape.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like that with any kind of relationship. I think, you know, you got Do Right Woman, Aretha Franklin, you know, made that a huge hit. And it's like, if you want a Do Right woman, you got to be a Do Right man. So it's like that kind of same kind of thing. Yeah, you do what it takes to attract the right type of players.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I'll pick up where John left off and say that, yeah, you got to be the player that you want to play with. And so that goes back to what you were saying, what we were talking about, the effort that it takes to become a musician. You got to work hard at what you're doing. And I think another part of it, if you want to be in a band and you want to be playing out and stuff like that, is to go out and see the music in your community and support, you know, go meet people and support other bands and try to, you know, get in with the music that you like, you know, go get in with those people and try to make friends with them. Yeah. And, you know, after the show, introduce yourself. Hey, great show. I really liked that. My name is Tate, you know, I've got a band, or I'm looking to form a band or whatever. You know, I think that is the best way to really kind of connect and like build a scene, like what you were saying. You know, you meet people and then you start playing with people and then it goes from there. And I think it's easier when you're younger to kind of do that too. Yeah. So
go to open mic nights. That's a good way to meet people and share what you're doing. Busk.
Yeah, playing on the street.
Yeah, first Thursdays, last Thursdays.
Open mics. The Laurel Thirst open mic on Sunday nights is a really good open mic. It's one of the best ones I've seen at the Laurel Thirst that mm-hmm. we were talking about earlier on Sunday nights. Usually hosted by Taylor Kingman, who is a phenomenal songwriter. And, you know, a lot of times you'll see several phenomenal songwriters in a row that night. And so, yeah, you just got to get out there and just, like, you know, put yourself out there and meet people and get in with those groups.
Yeah. What do you guys think about another song, if that's okay with you? That's the most fun part of the interview. Yeah. That's what people love. I've been on air and I've had calls, people telling me like, yeah, you're talking too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just play music. So, okay, you know, I don't get offended. It's all good.
Well, why don't we do one more?
Okay.
Can we pause it for a second so we can talk?
Go for it.
Okay. This one's called Elevator Blues. It's the first song on our new album.
Going up, but door, it just won't open. Smoke alarm is ringing, but the phone is broken.
Elevator, take me down. Elevator, pick me up off the ground.
You're listening to the Resilectrics here at KBOO in Studio 2, and we're recording, and you're listening what we recorded yesterday, today, Friday, May 25th, 2018. Hey, and what?
I just thought I'd interject. I thought I'd mention that if you like what you're hearing right now, listening at home on Friday night, we're playing tomorrow night, Saturday night, at the Skyline Tavern up on Skyline Road. It's a 21 and up event, but we play from 7 to 10. It's free. It's really a sweet spot up there.
We're time travelers here. You're listening to Squirrel Snow, and hey, I have an important question. It's kind of an important question. Can you remember people or circumstances that were clear stumbling blocks throughout your life? How did you conquer them?
People or circumstances that were stumbling blocks, roadblocks?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's a tough question. I mean, yeah.
It's okay if you hurt people's feelings.
Ha!
Just tell the audience. They want to see the real human behind the musician. How do
honestly,
you conquer these?
I feel like I've encountered a lot of roadblocks in my life, and you have to make a lot of concessions. You know, when you set out to be something like a musician, you know, you might have something in mind that you want to do. And at a certain point you realize, you know, maybe it's something different that you're doing, and you have to be okay with that. So that could be a roadblock. But also I feel like when I'm dealing with people and I get frustrated with things that, you know, in between me and another person, I try to remind myself constantly that the only person that I can change is myself. The only thing that I can change is myself in my own situation. And so I need to just make sure that I am the best person that I can possibly be, and sometimes reflect on whether or not I'm being that person. And a lot of times I'm not, you know, and I realize that I have things I need to work on and shortcomings. And so, you know, I just try to look at myself and say, what could I have done better in that situation? And how could I have handled that in a different way that would have made it so that that interaction with that person wasn't a roadblock for me? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I can say I feel very similar. The way I would describe it is that I find moments like that as an opportunity to become a better person and to grow. Opportunity for growth. Like, I can think of one particular person was a touring musician. Yeah. I had a roommate long time ago here in Portland who was booked bands at different venues around town, and bands would stop through and stay the night in our house. And these one guys, they were like up and comers, and they were on late night TV, and they were starting to happen, and they were looking for a drummer too. And I was like, oh, this could be cool. And we go down to play, and afterwards they were like, oh, that was fun. And then at the end, they told me somebody that they knew that I could take lessons from.
Oh.
Ouch. And awesome. And these guys were one of the guys in particular was super abrasive personality, but I don't think, you know, it's the way you look. He knew what he was talking about, and he was honest. You know, that's the way I would describe him. But honest to a point of abrasiveness. But so I thought about it, and you know what? I became a better drummer after hearing that come from a guy, you know, who I considered as a great player. Again, I just took it in, and I was like, okay, I'm going to buckle down here and become the best drummer that I can possibly be. And
okay, so I guess you both conquered the stumbling blocks or roadblocks by facing that. So it's you who can change, you can grow, so those experiences don't happen again, right?
Yeah.
More or less, yeah.
More or less.
I mean, yeah.
And I think a lot of these stumbling blocks that we come are from long-term relationships, like being in a band for a long time or being in a relationship or a marriage even, because like the longer that you're with someone, the more of your garbage floats up to the top of the relationship. It's easy to see. And so you got to either fix those problems to stay in a relationship or you detach. You know, so you gotta, it's like you make a decision. Is this a problem that I'm a part of? And if it is, then I'm gonna fix what I can.
And what do you guys do to relax, like to go away from things? Some people have hobbies, some people go fishing or hiking or meditate, like activities that you do to really kind of center yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I really like to hike. I like nature. I like getting outdoors, out of the city, and going hiking and getting into the forest or the beach or just anywhere where I feel like I can connect with the outdoors and with nature a little bit more. It always is a very centering thing for me. And, playing music can be really meditative, and say I've got something on my mind that's really bothering me or that I can't get over. If I just pick up my guitar and start playing, sometimes I have to force myself to do it, but after a couple minutes I realize I'm not even thinking about that thing anymore, and I'm just thinking about what I'm doing right there in that moment. And that's
kind of what meditation is. Next thing you know, an hour
went by. Yeah. I mean, if meditation is nothing more than, and I'm not saying that it is, but if it's, you know, about clearing your mind and just being in the moment, music is one of the closest things I can find that gets me there, gets me to that kind of pure in the moment.
Yeah, so music quality. Music is your meditation.
Playing music, yeah. I mean, listening's a different thing because it makes me think about a lot of things. But if I'm playing it, usually I can try to keep a clear head.
Okay, any last words for this interview? We're approaching the end of the interview, and guys, we're listening to the Reselectrics, Tate, John, Bob, local band, and you know, we've been sharing knowledge and experiences, and the most important part, you know, we've been listening to music that we recorded right here on Studio 2.
I would say thank you, Ender, for having us in here and giving us the chance to share our music with your listeners. And love KBOO. When I first got to Portland, KBOO made an impact on me, and I felt like it was a strong part of what Portland is. You know, it was a representation of Portland, and it's just a tight community, and it was a big part of what Portland is.
Yeah, I saw a KBOO sticker on your drum case.
Yeah, I've been in these studios before. Playing music with various groups over the years, but everything, like you say, the political activism and everything that KBOO represents, I appreciate that. The other folks I would think are the folks that come out to see the Reselectrics. We really appreciate y'all.
Can you refresh us when it's that you're playing next and like the best places to see you in Portland?
Well, the next show that we're playing is Saturday, May 26th at the Skyline Tavern. That's up in the West Hills.
Very intimate.
It's a cool spot. Old sort of roadhouse.
Cozy.
So we play the first Saturday of every month. That's the first Saturday. Happy hour, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Laurel Thirst. And it's always free.
Laurel Thirst. And that's supposed to be a really hot spot the Portland music scene.
For the roots music scene.
Roots music scene.
You know, and I mean, they do rock music and all kinds of stuff there. But I wouldn't say you're going to go see like an electronic band or a DJ or, you know, super, you know, indie rock stuff. You know, there are other venues like Bunk Bar and Ron Tom's and a few other places that host sort of like Holocene and stuff that all also have a scene in a way. Mm-hmm. And it's different. It's mostly a different style of music than what ends up at the Laurel Thirst. But there's some crossover.
If you're new to Portland and you're curious about what Portland was like before it became huge, before it became a thing.
New Portland.
New Portland, we call it sometimes.
Some people call
then
it
that. It's like a little glimpse into that world, you know, what Portland was before it became more of a city.
It's a super welcoming and open and warm crowd, and it feels good to be there. So okay. Anyway, that's the first Saturday of every month. And so those are the opportunities to play. You know, we're going to be playing outdoors a lot this summer. If you go follow us on Facebook or Instagram or check out our reselectrics.com, you can see the dates and a lot of outdoor all-ages events this summer. That'll be really fun.
There you go, reselectrics.com, guys. And you're listening to Squirrel Snow, KBOO 90.7 FM. And hey, one last question. How do you come up with that name, Reselectrics? Like, what does it mean?
Well,
what is that all about?
I was working in a guitar shop, and the National Guitar Company, they make these resonator guitars, like old blues-style guitars, like the silver ones with the silver tops that you see blues guys playing a lot. Anyway, they had a guitar called the Res Electric. It's an electric resonator guitar. And so when I was working at the guitar shop, we were trying to find a band name, and so I suggested the Res Electrics, named after this national guitar, the Res Electric guitar. I don't think they make them anymore. But it's, you know, it's like it's resophonic and electric kind of put together. So, you know, it kind of brings to mind the, like, you know, the space age sort of like, you know, vacuum cleaners, or, you know, the Res Electric vacuum cleaner, you know, new in 1964, you know,
in stereo.
I mean? Yeah, just this kind
of... Are you trying to vacuum the dirt of, like, you know, all the crappy music?
We're vacuuming the dirt out your ears, people. We're vacuuming the dirt out your ears, and we're going to put some good stuff in there.
Okay, all right, all right. So you heard it, Res Electrics. Just go to the website, reselectrics.com.
We got a new album coming out later this year, so keep an eye out for that.
Okay, is that a date? Well,
for no date set yet. You know, just we're just sending out the, you know, we're letting everybody know
that
we see it. It's on the horizon.
All right.
It's right there. It's almost done. We finished all of it.
Thank you so much for being here. And, music will live on.
Thanks for having us, Ender.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.